there are opportunities in life for gaining knowledge and experience.
So let's have a conversation.
Okay. What would you like to have a conversation about?
Welcome to The Conversation, a Nordic Film Podcast. It's the 52nd episode of our little podcast here, and today we're going to do things a little bit different. We're going to talk about a TV show called Sharp Objects. But yes. Before that, we need to gather some courage, I think.
Yes, please.
And for that, I'm going to ask you, what are you drinking tonight?
Something I've probably drank before on the show, but it's a Paulaner from Munich.
Yeah.
Yeah, a Weiss beer for once, you know, wheat beer.
Yeah, okay.
I'll just go and open it.
That's a surprise.
And I'm just going to pour it into my Hoegaarden glass.
That might be blasphemy.
Could be. I don't know if the Germans will approve, but you know. We'll see.
It's looking good. And it fits the glass.
Yeah, there was plenty to go, so.
Okay. Nice. Good. Like a Paulaner is good.
Yeah? It's good. It's good. It's just maybe it's recording. We're recording Monday evening this time, so it's been a Monday.
Yeah. It's always good to end the Monday on a beer.
Yeah, it is. And
liven up a little bit.
Yeah. Now, what do you have over there?
I found a special, well, it's a Danish beer, but it's called Liege.
You are so patriotic.
Yeah, it's Danish brewery, but it's trying to do a Belgian white beer.
Oh.
So Liege is from Belgium, obviously.
Yeah. The city where they filmed the Belgian film.
Unknown Girl.
The Unknown Girl, yeah.
Exactly. So that's why I saw this. And it's not why I saw it, but it's why I bought it when I saw it. So I'm going to open it now. It's probably great.
Excitement.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah. You know, I've gone through all the white beers on the market here. It's a small market. Okay. Yeah. So I'm just repeating myself always now.
I need to send you some.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Better yet, maybe we should get a sponsor that just has
sends
beer.
Us beer.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, okay.
Mm. How is it?
Maybe I shouldn't send you some.
Not that one?
No. I mean, they tried to hit the Belgian white beer, but it seems kind of flat, and it seems kind of acidy.
All right.
And
doesn't sound good.
No, it's probably okay, but...
But the Danes are so good with the beer. What's going on?
Well... They produce so many different kinds, so
yes.
I mean, some are bound to go wrong.
Yeah,
I would not recommend this one, but I'll make it through it.
It's maybe it's a little bit like The Good Place. It's difficult, but you know you're gonna pull through.
But I mean, if this was The Good Place, I would just pour it in the sink.
Yeah, I'm hanging in there still. I'm finishing season one.
I'm not as good a man as you are.
Yeah.
I really can't. I can't watch it with Kristen Bell.
Kristen Bell. It's
and it's not because I want to be personal or anything, but I just can't take her seriously. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, we've mentioned this before on the show, so. Yeah, but I'm like hanging in there, you know?
Yeah. You know, I was looking through Netflix and stumbled upon Like Father because of Kelsey Grammer, you know? I do love Frasier and it's rare that he pops up nowadays and I wanted to spend some more time with him. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I didn't, I failed to notice that Kristen Bell was on the cover as well.
Yeah.
And, it's Kristen Bell, right?
Yeah.
Kristen. Saying Kirsten. Kristen Bell.
I don't know. Is it Kirsten or Kristen? Let's just... I have it open here.
We have to...
Kristen. It's Kristen Bell.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I watched that one.
Yeah, Netflix and I saw your rating. So,
It's
tell us about that.
It is exactly what it sets out to be. You know, it's one of these feel-good family reunion, have fun with your friends on a cruise kind of film when you while you go to Caribbean or the Caribbean and do some fun stuff and record it. You know, like it seems like the crew just wanted to get a break and have a vacation. And,
sounds like a good idea.
Exactly. I mean, who can blame them for making a movie like this? There are so many GoPro shots in Jamaica.
Yeah.
You know, with them doing not bungee jump, but zip lining and probably like water skiing and jumping in lagoons and all that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And they obviously had to do it because it was them. I mean, the camera, it was a GoPro camera, is right in front of their face doing this fun stuff, tourist stuff.
Cool.
So it's like, cool for them.
You're telling me that Kelsey Grammer did a bungee jumping thing? No,
ziplining. Ziplining.
I have no idea what that is.
It's a wire is being attached to a high point. Maybe in a tree, and then it's attached to a lower point in another tree, and then you zip line, hang on it. Yeah, I saw your gesture there. Yeah, hanging there.
Yeah, I was scratching my head. Okay. But welcome to the conversation, the Extreme Games podcast.
Yes, yes, exactly.
So what else is up?
Well, in this movie.
Well, no, we have Seth Rogen. I don't want to talk about that.
We have Seth Rogen. I'm sorry. Ooh, there's one thing. Seth Rogen is in it.
I'm sorry.
Yes. And he's refusing a joint.
Is he effortlessly funny as always?
No. I mean, he's really not being used all that much. He has a bad karaoke part where he can't sing. And then he refuses this joint. He's actually saying, no, I don't do that stuff. And that's probably the whole joke of the movie.
Could be.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it was fun seeing Kelsey Grammer. He's a likable guy. Anyway.
On that, I mean, you've heard the talk about Frasier reboot.
No.
There's been talk about Frasier reboot.
With Kelsey?
Yeah.
With everyone?
Not everyone.
No. Unfortunately, Jim
Mahoney,
not.
Of course. Is,
well, yeah. So what will this be?
I don't know.
Should they?
I don't know. It's very tempting, but you know, my heart says yes, but my brain says no.
Yeah.
Don't do
leave
it.
Leave it be.
But I would watch it certainly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would also.
He's just so good in that role, Kelsey.
He is just that guy and you know, I don't want to bring like father up, but one of the reasons why I enjoyed watching part of it anyway was because it's so nice to spend time with Kelsey again. It is just Frasier, you know. Mm. He's so likable.
Yeah, I watch him on my phone most evenings before I go to sleep. So
that's just creepy.
He's never really out of my head, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Does Shep know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
She does.
Mm-hmm. All right, so what have you been up to?
Well, I want to say a few words about my son.
Okay.
Who is 2 years and I think 4 months, 5 months old now.
My daughter as well.
Almost 6 months old. Months old.
Yeah.
But he has the dreaded terrible twos going on now.
Yeah, what is he up to? What is he doing?
You know, he's a fantastic little boy, but he's just has trouble controlling whatever comes to his mind. And he's just being a total dick, you know, throwing things down You like kind of, because you don't want to draw attention to his bad behavior. So if you do that, he just does it again and again and again. But you try to be like mild and nonchalant with him when he's breaking something or throwing something or kicking me and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that look on his face when you tell him, please don't do that. You know, you could break it or you're hurting mommy or daddy or something like that. And that look where he gives you when he's like, yeah, I don't know. I don't care. I'll just smile at you and keep doing it since I got your attention.
But it's just part of it. When I cannot do it anymore. Yeah. Like, when am I forced not to do it?
Yeah, it's just that this age, they don't have the self-control. Their brains haven't developed.
They're just testing those limits. They're trying to see how far they can go.
It's not just that. It's not just that. It's self-control that. Is not just is simply not there.
It's also true.
Self-control, I believe, comes maybe 3.5 years old. Where you can just tell them to stop, and they understand they have to stop completely.
Yeah.
But this is like not. This is rare. I'm just.
Yeah.
I just wanted to, you know, get this in here.
Out of your system.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It is also something that happens over here.
Yeah.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
It's a tough thing. You know. Just the other day, Reshka got sick for one day. Had a fever. Yeah. Was home with Elin all day, was sleeping, all that kind of stuff. Like, it was a chill day, for what I hear. Mm-hmm. The next day, I stayed home with her because she still had a little bit of fever when she woke up. And then it disappeared. And then she had slept for 12 hours the day prior. So she didn't want to go take her nap. She basically refused. At one point, she started running around in the bed and singing, I am morning fresh. I am morning fresh. Like fresh in the morning all the time. Morn fresk. And then she said, and papi says I'm not morning fresh. And she just continued running around in the bed and was really not going to sleep.
No.
And then, like, unfortunately, after 1.5 hour of trying to make her sleep, I gave up and I was like, okay, let's just get out of here. And then she was just testing those limits all evening until Elin came home and, well, I put her to sleep. I was just wasted that day. And, you know, you can't really blame her, you know, because she's really just trying. She just wants to experience things and
is such a fun age,
you know. But man, I was worn down that day.
you said you were wasted, which to most people means, you know, very drunk or very high on something.
But not to me.
So all the Americans out there, he was just tired.
I was just tired, yes. But I really felt like having a drink in the evening, though.
Yeah.
Just to ease up. Yeah. But it's a really fun age, but it's also a really challenging age.
Sure. I have a couple of things I want to, like, mention. I've been watching stuff.
Yeah.
Atlanta. Yeah. You need to watch
into that. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The genius of Donald Glover, he's that guy.
Yeah, I really need to experience the genius.
I've mentioned him before. He's a genius. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's just multi-talented.
Yeah.
This is his show. I mean, it's a little... It's mostly brilliant, but it's a little silly at times, but it's meant to be silly.
Okay, yeah.
And, that guy. Also... I'm excited about watching Ozark. Have you started?
We had one great evening, where we finished Sharp Objects. We watched one other thing as well, like finished one other TV series, and then started Ozark, and obviously fell asleep. But I was so happy to see the first like 10 minutes, and just seeing that they just leave off, like they come back where they left off, basically, mm-hmm. like the same format. And it was just so nice. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm excited. I haven't seen much.
I haven't seen anything, but I'm hoping to start tonight.
Okay.
Also, there's a Finnish series on mm-hmm. Netflix called Border Town.
Yeah.
Did you know about that one?
Yeah.
It's 11 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And the first story is like 3 episodes. Mm-hmm. And we finished that one.
Okay.
And it's pretty damn good. Okay. Surprisingly good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard about it a while ago, actually. Mm-hmm. And people were not so happy with it. So I just didn't get around to watching it, actually.
Yeah, well, many people didn't like Festen when it came out. Of course,
so
I don't talk to those people anymore.
Subject matter? Or
no, I'm just saying, it's not like that, but as a Nordic noir thing, it's mm-hmm. It's really pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm going to finish it.
Yeah. Finish it, no pun intended?
Nah, not really. But I'm gonna finish it, and yes. And I think I'll do Ozark first, of course. But
yeah,
we'll see. Yeah. Also, I went to the cinema. I don't know.
What?
Yes,
really.
I went to a screening of Summer with Monica, okay. 1953, Ingmar Bergman.
Yeah, yeah, small festival.
The Swedish embassy is like there are 4 films of his, and mm-hmm. this was the opening of that little festival, and we had the ambassador and the let's just say the elite, mm-hmm. you know, the cultural elite, and yes. me and Shep were there.
You, the critic.
Yeah, no. Not really. I was just enjoying myself. I did not. I left my weapon at home. But
we need to make those.
That's a good film, though. I wasn't pleased in the beginning. It felt a little theatrical. Like he's because he has such roots in theater, mm-hmm. and it was an early film, mm-hmm. and but then as the as it comes towards the end, he breaks the fourth wall.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh my God, that guy's a genius. Up until then, I was like, yeah, this is okay. But
yeah.
And
why was it good that he broke the fourth wall?
Like, because it was at a crucial moment of, it kind of made you understand the characters right there. And then,
was it just a look, or did they actually address people?
Maybe 7 or 8 second look into the camera.
Okay.
From both main characters, not at the same time though. But
no.
But it was remarkable.
Okay.
You could feel it.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh my God, this is. Of course, this guy's a genius, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Something else.
Yeah. I know there's some sort of documentary going on right now with Ingmar Bergman in the cinemas here.
Okay.
Haven't gotten around to see it, but I've been intrigued. Mm. I really need to catch up with more of those movies, though.
Yeah.
Maybe
in your old age when you have time.
Maybe just accept to watch an Ingmar Bergman movie in the evenings instead of starting yet another stupid series.
Yeah.
Or watching like Father.
Or watching The Good Place.
Yeah. Hmm? I mean, just like spend some time with some
Why
quality
not?
Stuff.
Yeah.
But it just takes more energy.
Yeah, but when, you get rewarded.
You do when you appreciate it much more afterwards. Mm-hmm. But it's just, yeah, those evenings.
I just always look at it as an education.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You need to know this stuff, really.
Yeah, but it should also be fun.
And it is.
And it is. It is.
It's like enlightening and uplifting when you see something like that. That just made my night. I mean,
yeah,
there was all kinds of famous people there, and that in itself doesn't matter. But what I mean is like it's fun to see those faces everybody knows, you know, these famous people and the elite, like I say.
Yeah.
But that moment. Mm-hmm. When she looked into the camera, you just my kind of hands just dropped. Like, oh my god!
Because
this is why I'm here.
With your
this is yeah. I'm like this. But it was worth it right there and the moment, you know. And Shep was so happy with it. It was great night.
Okay, yeah? Amazing. So,
But do you have anything else before we go to our secondary feature, shall we say?
Where are we going?
Dunkirk.
I'm not going back.
There's no hiding from this sun. We have a job to do.
If we go there, we'll die.
Practically see it from here.
What?
Home.
I watched Dunkirk a while ago, actually.
Yeah.
Wanted to watch it a year ago when it came out.
Yeah.
People weren't that interested, apparently.
Some people, yes.
Yeah, some people. Actually, like thinking of Dunkirk right now, when we were recording a show, I had to send out Aileen and her mom in the middle of the night or like in the evening 1 year ago. And I recommended them to watch Dunkirk because it was supposedly very, very good. Ever since, I've been punished for choosing such a bad movie.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
They hated it. Apparently, Aileen didn't hate it just as much as her mother, but
did they
really
say why?
Dislike it. Such a male movie, they said. Mm. Such a war movie, they said.
I have something to say about that.
Yes. So so let's enter this conversation on that note, and let's hear it from you.
I was. Surprisingly happy with it because like you said, I wasn't really that pumped for it, because of Hacksaw Ridge, the whole I was maybe off the war movie thing for a while, but then I just started to read about it and a little bit and what Nolan has done I read about him a little bit. He doesn't have a cell phone. Did you know that?
No, but I know that he really dislikes Netflix and streaming.
So. Yeah, he doesn't have a cell phone and he doesn't do email either.
No.
He's a quirky guy, but he's a talented guy, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
He's a talented guy. And I was just connecting the two. Like, you would expect some CGI in a film like this, but they make a point of not doing that.
Yeah.
And what they call practical effects or physically manifested effects, you know.
Yes.
The old school special effects.
Yeah. You know, that's one of the, like, if I want, may cut in here, that's one of the reasons why the Batman movies that he made was actually quite spectacular because he did so many practical effects and not very much CGI.
Yeah, I didn't even see those.
No.
No.
And there's some good stuff there. Especially The Dark Knight, which just had a 10-year anniversary.
After seeing Dunkirk, I'm quite happy to see that now.
Yeah.
But it's just that my dislike of the whole superhero crap.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, but
anyway, Dunkirk.
Yeah. Let's not go
into this discussion. Okay.
Quite happy with it.
Yeah.
Just to pick up where your mother-in-law and Elin were at with the male thing. There's not a single female character in the movie.
There are help on the ship.
Yes, but they're not characters. I mean, there's a nurse or two.
Exactly.
But they have one line, and they're not characters really. I just think that's very good. I wouldn't usually say that.
No.
But that goes to his whole theme of just showing things as they were. That's all he's doing.
That's also what I'm thinking. And usually I have many beefs with not having strong female characters in a movie.
Yeah.
But here it seemed like, also because it takes place in such a short time, or like three times at the same time. But it's this period. It's a situation where there wouldn't be any women there.
Exactly.
And so it didn't even cross my mind that it was wrong.
It's not male centric in that way because it's just simply showing. He's just showing how it was there and then.
Yeah.
And I'm quite happy because if you have a, like in Hacksaw Ridge, you have a female roles, and it's always about the drama.
Yeah.
And he's just not doing drama. There's no drama. It's just, this is how it is. This is how it was.
Mm-hmm.
And here you go.
And you know, there is drama, but there's no like love interest stuff going on.
Yeah, I mean, there's drama, but there's not manufactured drama.
No.
You know, this is, of course, it's dramatic when people are dying all over the place and thousands are dying.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Mm. But, you know, one of the great things I think this movie does is also not to show the enemy. Unlike Hacksaw Ridge, where you really see the battle and all the gore and all the like horror, this movie is much more about the fear and the terror that soldiers experience in these kind of situations. There's nothing they can do. They're like these sitting ducks on the beach, and you just hear mortar bombings in the distance, and you know it could be them all of a sudden, you know, and you never once in this movie see a close up of a soldier, a enemy soldier. Everything is far away, and it's only terror in people's head.
You know? Exactly,
it's not personal. This thing is not personal. It's like they're targets because they're the enemy.
Exactly. I wrote down, it's like business-like. It's just how it is.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned no sign of the enemy. Well, no sight. There's no evil-looking German anywhere.
No.
And there's no gore.
There's no gore?
There's no gore. You don't need that.
No.
No. But I'm sure there was gore all over the place on that
of
beach.
Course.
I mean, he
of
decides
course.
Not to do, go there.
Yeah.
And I think it's a right decision here.
You know, that's where you have a filmmaker like Mel Gibson wanting to show the gore in order to say how horrible it is. And then Chris Nolan here, who was just more interested in the emotions, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, you and know, speaking and of
focus on those characters that survive and how they have to live with their decisions of like this main character who is basically cutting in line, you know, in order to get on this boat, but he just has this will to live and do what it takes in order to get there.
I was dramatic. Quite happy with the understated performances as well. Mm-hmm. There was nowhere comparing Hacksaw Ridge, there was always someone crying or screaming
the horror and showing how affected they were by it.
He doesn't need to do that because we know how horrible it is. Mm-hmm. Maybe because we've seen Hacksaw Ridge. I don't know. I've never been to war.
No,
but
me neither.
Yeah, but
you can do it in many different ways. I think one of the good things about Hacksaw Ridge, now that we talk about it, was actually those fighting scenes. They were something different, but it didn't make
it's difficult
movie.
For me to compare it because I saw Hacksaw Ridge in a theater and I saw this at home.
Yeah,
so I can't really compare it.
You actually saw it on Netflix, which Nolan really does not approve of. and I did too, and I've also heard that people who really really love this movie saw it in the cinema and said it was an amazing, there's that word again, an amazing experience due to the sound, because there's so much going on in the sound design because you don't see anything, you hear stuff in the background, and that is the frightening thing.
Funny thing, I didn't read about the sound design until after I saw the film. Still, I could kind of feel that it was something special, even though it's not in I didn't see it in a theater.
Yeah,
I find my sound is good at home, but it's not theater good.
No.
But I could feel there was was special.
Yeah, a good trick is to put on your headphones instead and watch the movie like that.
I had a chance to do that actually because I did a history lesson for Shep because she knows nothing about stuff like this. Mm-hmm. So when was this? So where was this? And why was this?
We were very close to Dunkirk this summer.
Were we? We were in Belgium.
Yeah. I mean, still close to Dunkirk.
Well, pretty close. I guess.
The beach.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
But, anyways, she fell asleep. Of course, after a while, I just decided to go upstairs. So...
But again, one of the great things about this movie, it's probably a little bit manufactured in a way, the way this story has been structured. But I think it is brilliant because you get this narrative that is taking place over 1 hour, 1 day, and 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't think that you could put those timelines together in a meaningful way, but it adds tension to the weak part of the movie, and you get a bit of action in the 1 hour mission that the fighter planes are on, and also the boats, to get the different types of, feeling that this war can bring you. Like, you have the adrenaline of a quick mission. You have the fear of being stuck for an extended period of time. And then, all of this is just, mixed together. And I thought it was beautiful. And you did see some of the things twice from different kinds of angles, but it also added to how People at war probably see something play out, but don't really get the emotional attachment to it. I mean, it's just planes, for instance, like shooting each other, and you're like, okay, they shot them down. But here, you're actually in the cockpit while you're at the spectator's position with the boats that were going to Dunkirk, and you're also with the spectators on the beach who are like depending on the planes. I mean, the conjunction of all these storylines, it made perfect sense, and it was beautiful to see it, and I was quite amazed that it actually worked out.
Is that the seller for you?
I think it's this kind of movie making. it's not really, I mean, you could have told this story in so many ways, but this specific way of doing it, I thought it was pretty damn cool. Yeah.
I was impressed as well, if we're talking about how he tells the story, about the kind of lack of dialogue. It was minimal. And it's more in the how he shoots it.
It is.
It's beautifully shot. I thought,
you know, on YouTube, I think there is a silent film version of it. Somebody has edited it, put in title cards, and made it a silent film. And should be just as good.
Yeah. If I don't have time for Bergman, I don't have time for that. I'm sorry.
A supercut.
But I get your point. That's probably a fine experiment. If you're really into this stuff.
Yeah.
But so. It's a 4-star film for me out of 5. It's very good. It's very good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, me too. I think I also probably gave it 4, maybe even 4.5. I can't quite remember.
I think you gave it 4.
Yeah. There was, I don't know if it's really a spoiler because this is like how the story goes.
Don't worry about
that. So there was one situation where I teared up a bit.
Did you know?
Because, yes. It's like the segment of every review. Where did I start to cry?
Yeah.
But I thought it was so beautiful and unselfish and just...
Are you talking about when the skipper's son said, yes, he's okay?
No. That was all right. But no, it was an overhead shot of ships hitting land. You know, they made it all the way to the other side.
Yeah.
And picked up the people. And I was just, I couldn't contain myself. Well, okay, I mean, it was not a lot, but you know,
the reality is amazing. 338,000 people evacuated using small vessels.
Yeah,
from across the channel. It's just this. This is an amazing story.
Mm-hmm. If there's anything I should put my finger on, it's like it didn't seem like there were so many soldiers. I don't know. It didn't get completely the sense of scale, but probably also because you stuck with these specific soldiers on the beach.
I guess he could have, I mean, he had thousands of extras. I guess he could have used CGI to multiply them, but I guess he decided not to do that.
Yeah. But it was a little bit of a, like, wow. I mean, was it actually so many people? It didn't seem that way. But, you know,
I mean, of course, they weren't all there at the same time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I know. So this was just, one incident.
That didn't bother me.
No. But it was a beautiful moment. And it made me realize, oftentimes when I start crying in movies, it's when people do very unselfish deeds and sacrifice themselves in order to accomplish great things.
All these British subjects just decided to sail over on their little boats.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It is and beautiful. On that note, I think we should just move on to sharp objects.
When you're here, you're my daughter. Everything you do comes back on me.
I didn't come back to cause any problems.
I can tell. You hate this place like me.
Someone in this town's hiding something.
Mama says I need to be careful around you. Not true. Are you dangerous?
That was a clip from Sharp Objects, a miniseries produced by HBO that just finished like a week ago or something like that. Mm-hmm. And as you can imagine, if we're making it a main event here on the show, it must be good. Yeah?
Must be.
Yeah. So, what did you like best about it? I mean, we like it. We both like it.
Yeah, we started it in Belgium.
Yeah.
But had to wait
in order for the
series to finish.
Yeah, because HBO doesn't do the Netflix thing of dropping the whole series. No,
they're probably the most TV-like streaming service around here. But back then, I had this feeling that there was something special about this series, but it didn't have these cliffhangers. It didn't have the normal way a series was built, you know. Mm-hmm. It was not the same framework. It didn't have the same intro music. Always something different. I was intrigued, but I didn't love it from the beginning.
Yeah. I was a little bit, after the second one, I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
But let's give it a shot.
Yeah, but that's because this is very, like, I don't want to bring, I don't mean to bring up Lynch here, but he was always talking about doing this 18-hour movie. Mm-hmm. And I think Sharp Objects, it's very much true that this is just a feature film. It's just a very slow feature film because you don't get any special incidents in every episode. You get slowly background information for all the characters, for the town, and feelings and stuff like that are being revealed, but it just comes slowly. It comes creeping in throughout the season, and finally you're just so much, you know what people are thinking, what the town is thinking, how people react, all that kind of stuff, and that's very special, I think.
Yeah.
It's something you never have time for in a feature film, and you get a little bit of the same stuff, you know, but you only have 2 or maybe 3 hours to develop characters. But here, it's such a slow way of developing a character, and you're just in it.
On that note, should it have been a 6-hour movie instead of 8-hour movie?
I don't quite know.
Let's just say it could have been a 6-hour movie.
It could probably have been sped up here and there, but with the feeling I was left with at the end, the culmination of this long slow burn period, I was happy with it. But you know, as I said, the first 2-3 episodes, I was not dying to continue.
I was on board after number 3.
Yeah. Yeah.
After number 3, I think after number 2, I told you that I thought it was a little bit heavy-handed on the characterization of the main character.
Mm-hmm. Amy Adams.
And overall, I think the characterization is really, really good.
Yeah.
And it's like a puzzle, and it just kind of one piece at a time. Like with Patricia Clarkson as her mother,
yeah,
it was just very good. But at that point, I was like, okay, that's enough of that. I mean, we get it. She's burdened. We get it.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit heavy-handed for me. Mm. But I mean, it's a tiny drawback in a great series.
But you start to see with Amy Adams' character that all the things that affect a person, and a person is just like a person is really three-dimensional. And you can't just pinpoint this one incident and say, this is why you're like that. There's so many different things that are shaping a person. And I think that's what this series is doing so well. Like there are no evil people. There are no good people. There are just people who are all evil and who are all good.
But, you know, and bad for a reason, of course.
Exactly. Yeah.
And we really get to the bottom of Amy Adams' character when the story like culminates.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the writing is excellent. I think I should read this book by Gillian Flynn, who was advising, I think, and writing for the series. I think it's her first book. She wrote also Gone Girl, which was made into a feature film. Did you see that?
I saw that one.
Yeah.
I was not impressed, though.
It was a bit slow, but I was not impressed, but it was okay.
But it was also, like, it was David Fincher, and it was after he did the adaptation of that Girl with a Dragon Tattoo, so I was kind of, like, not really...
Did he do that?
Yeah,
that's a rookie mistake.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like Spike Lee doing Old Boy again.
Yeah,
just don't touch that.
Yeah, but they do, and
they get well paid for it.
Of people, who do that, you kind of lower your opinion a little bit. Gone Girl
Didn't land with you. Okay. No, we're not talking about that here.
No, we're not.
Just moving on.
Let's
stay with the...
You know, another thing I really liked, and everything about Sharp Objects is about characterization of characters and their emotional, like their inner emotions, inner feelings. And I think the editing in this show is impeccable.
Top class.
The way it drifts in and out of flashbacks, present day, and subjective opinions and subjective thoughts. And it's so seamless and you get it, but you're all also kind of thinking, what is really real? What is really going on here? But you're still being like, you know exactly what's going on.
He was dancing on the line for me with the flashbacks, but he is learning. This is the same guy as did, of course, Big Little Lies.
Yes.
And for me, the flashbacks were a little too much there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's dancing on the line. But it's very well done, and the editing of it is, of course, like you say, impeccable. Like,
some of the, like, one scene that really stands out to me is like the end of probably episode 4 or 5, something like that, when Camille is realizing that her sister Amma, which is
Grandma in Icelandic.
Grandma in Icelandic, yes. She realizes that she might be in danger. And she's realizing that maybe she is being taken to this hut out in the forest. And she's driving through the night and she's imagining all the horrible things that could have happened to her.
Mm-hmm.
And It's probably the most of a cliffhanger in this series by the end of one episode, where you get this like really fast editing between her driving, imagining, also seeing Amma actually roller skating, where she probably did roller skate, and you know, it was a tense situation. it was very well done, and you got into the frustrating feeling that Camille must be with at that moment. I thought it was very well done.
In general, I think flashbacks should be used very sparsely.
This wasn't a flashback, though. It was.
They were all over the place all the time, the flashbacks.
Yeah, but this one wasn't.
There were flashbacks in that scene as well, I think.
There was also flashbacks, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
But because your past is shaping your present.
Of course.
And I think that was great because she had memories of that hut from when she was a kid and from her experiences. And then she transferred that onto what might have happened to her plus murder. So I thought it was very beautiful, beautifully done.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Mm-hmm. Another thing I want to mention is the sound design.
Yeah.
Because you could really feel that. You can really feel that southern heat mm-hmm. and the creatures everywhere. The crickets and it's just exaggerated so much.
Mm-hmm.
It's by choice, and they know they're doing it, and I'm happy they do it because it kind of it's a character in itself. The surroundings, the climate,
mm-hmm.
and all that.
I love that was really well done. The characters are just sweating all the freaking time. And I was just thinking of myself being in Thailand, where it was just like, you just don't care when it's so hot. You just, mm-hmm. you know, when you wake up in the morning, once you exit air condition, you're just soaked.
Yeah.
And all the characters here were, and they looked it, and
mm-hmm.
it made it so real.
Uh-huh.
What did you think about the Calhoun Day play?
Calhoun Day.
Yeah.
The whole thing, the Calhoun Day, was really southern, had a really southern flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they were northern soldiers being bad to southern women, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw the Confederate flag. I don't know. You kind of got the feeling, oh, yeah, they have Trump now. They voted for Trump, these people.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah,
but the play, I don't know. Emma was always kind of the trying to be the center of attention, and I don't know what you mean. What would you say about the play? It was what it is. It's very southern and very silly and
very disgusting too.
They have their traditions, I guess.
Exactly, but it's very odd traditions. Like, I thought they played it so much for laughs, a little bit, but mm-hmm. it was also disgusting in the same time. And mm-hmm. and it's kind of the feeling that you're sitting with watching this series, because you're uneasy all the time. There's this one scene in the play where this girlfriend of... Yeah. Well, the girlfriend is being basically raped multiple times and stabbed and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
And the audience is just clapping and smiling at that situation.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, this is fucked up. Sorry, but it is. and then... When you know that the same kind of thing is happening in the town as this rite of passage, that you see that through some of the characters in the town, you just realize how the past and the present is melted together in that way,
mm-hmm.
and how you can't just snap out of it and. Like, why can't you? You know, it's just so ingrained in the town. You know,
I guess it's also snobbery towards the main family, because this family just owns the town, basically.
Exactly. Also that.
I mean, the sheriff comes to their house and talks about what he's doing and and asks advice and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So they just own it, and it's their family, yeah. Calhoun.
Yeah. Yeah. They are.
I want to talk about the script a little bit. I think the construction of the whole thing is very good.
Yeah, okay.
I think the pacing and how it kind of gathers pace there, episodes 5, 6, 7, I think it was really, really well done.
Yeah. No, that's a little bit like I was getting into the whole slow burn effect.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it moves a little bit quickly in 7th and 8th episode.
But it kept you interested in, and
it did.
2, 3, 4. And then it kind of gathers pace a little bit. And you find, of course, at some point you have to find stuff out.
Yeah.
And it's still, I feel it's still slow burning.
Yeah.
Even then.
You know, I really want to rewatch the whole thing, actually, because often when nothing is really happening in a show or in a movie, and something happens towards the end, you think they're just diverting you all the time. I think this series is really not diverting you in any way.
No.
I think they're actually showing quite a few things that are going down later in plain sight. And you get the unnerving, weird, uneasy feeling.
The vibe is there.
And you feel it, but you don't really know what to look for. And I think actually if we rewatched it, we would actually see that, like, whatever is going on behind the scenes.
That may well be.
I really think so. And, you know, I think it's also kind of fun with, you know, there's obviously some racial tension here also, but there's no real, like, there's no black people.
There's one
around.
There's one of the
soccer
moms.
But there is one.
Yeah.
Huh.
That's it.
And, one of the soccer moms. Servant. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then you have like the servant.
The housekeeper,
which is very strange. It really puts this house in a completely different era.
It does.
And how it's still the same.
That's her role, actually, to put the house in a different era. It's not just the ivory on the floors.
No.
You know?
It's everything.
So that's by choice, but it's a bit strange that there are like no black people in the town.
Yeah, it is a little bit strange.
That we can see.
Yeah. Except for that one, of course.
Yeah.
But
she had a hard time as a teenager, that one.
Yeah, yeah.
That one person.
She did. Mm. And
let's talk about the music. Diegetic all the way through.
Yeah.
Mostly.
Yeah.
And apparently, it was like...
Led Zeppelin is very hard to get rights to. So they don't feature in many movies. And they apparently did find the rights.
Apparently. I told you, I think, in Belgium that I felt like the Volvo was a character of its own.
Yeah.
And that whole world... It's all contributing to Camille's character, isn't it?
It is.
Music, the car, and how she is in the car, and the music plays a huge role.
It does, you know. Uh-huh. It's also a way of escape for her, as you see on several occasions, actually. Like that and the self-harm.
That's also similar to Big Little Lies.
Mm-hmm.
Did I mention the director is called Jean-Marc Vallée and also did Big Little Lies?
Yes. And now we got to our first Nordic connection.
Oh, my
God.
Because
Big Little Lies, I think Jean-Marc Vallée has a thing for the Danish musician called Agnes Opel.
Okay.
And he's using her music in the intro for Big Little Lies. And apparently also uses it for this TV series.
Interesting. She does a version of the intro song, or?
She does one song called Let Me Get This. Okay. It's called Court Left. I'm not quite sure where it features. I think it is around the beginning.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't know Agnes Obel.
But we got a Nordic Connection there. I mean, we should really get a jingle.
Yes.
Nordic Connection.
I think we should. Yeah. I've been looking out for this one, and you know, I think this was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. Danish music, right there.
Maybe we should have watched A Place in the Sun.
Yeah.
Along with this thing. Each episode features a title sequence with a different interpretation of the song Dance and Angela by Franz Waxman from the score of the 1951 film A Place in the Sun.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Yeah.
I guess someone should have should have tried that, but...
Yes, maybe somebody maybe. Should.
But you know, hindsight, that... it's 2020, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know,
while we're on Nordic connections, then
yeah.
I also did a little digging, and yeah. I realized that Amy Adams has Danish ancestors.
Wow, that's yes. impressive!
And
congratulations,
as well
on
as
that.
Swiss German. So
Norwegian.
I mean, quite a few, but Danish and Norwegian was part of them. So there we have it.
Okay, that, I'm happy for you. Another one. Great.
Yeah, that's all. That's all for the Nordic connections.
So do we do spoilers at all? Do you think we should just say?
Should
let's
we
do spoilers
like, do,
now?
Do you have something? Yeah. Do you have
yeah,
something?
I
you want
to talk about
talk
the
about?
Ending. You know.
Yes. Okay. I'm sorry to cut in here, but now we're going to talk about spoilers for approximately 10 minutes. So please jump to 1 hour 13 minutes in order to skip all the spoilers we're talking about.
So what did you think about the hook there towards the end? I mean...
With the teeth?
No. The... Oh my God, I'm missing words here.
I mean,
the ending, ending. I mean, we get the, we think it's Patricia Clarkson.
Yes.
Actually, I was thinking it couldn't have been her husband because they keep giving him to us all the way through. I mean, why is he there? Why are we always seeing him listening to Italian pop songs?
Yeah.
What? Why is that?
Mm-hmm.
He must play a role.
Yeah, but he does. He's covering up and ignoring. And
yeah, that's what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
But it seemed to me that they were giving him to us
as
the guy. Yeah,
they were insinuating that there was something else to him.
And they
but
did
you
a lot of it.
That he actually just he was just a caring father who. Who really
knew everything.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. But usually you see it in a different way, you know, you see like some man where the woman is covering it up, you know,
mm-hmm.
like
mm-hmm.
and here you get it like with the reverse roles and they probably just play with this notion that of course it's the man. You know,
yeah.
who's doing it.
Yeah.
Like the whole town is always on and on about how the man is doing it. Obviously,
were,
it's a man.
Were you so. Onto the killer? I mean, okay, killer or... Yeah, I mean...
I was on to Mama.
Mama.
Yes. Okay. I was not on to Amma. In the same way.
I mean, I don't...
There was always something weird about her.
Amma.
Amma.
Yeah.
Yeah. As I mentioned in our Belgian show, where I thought she was from another time.
Yeah.
And there was something else with her. She plays this role of being like bipolar or like psychotic and schizophrenic really well. I'm so amazed with this girl.
She was really good.
You know, this woman playing this character. I mean, you never knew where you had her. And it all seemed real in a way.
Yeah. Like, she was a well-constructed character for, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
She was annoying.
Yes.
Annoying teenage girl who was the daughter of the richest people in town and did what she liked.
Yeah.
When she liked.
And she did anything she liked when she liked.
Yeah.
Too.
And they leave us with that just line, "Don't tell mommy."
Yeah. But then there's that aftermath, you know, in the credit scene. Did you watch that?
What was that? I did watch it, but yes. It was so quick.
Yeah.
I saw was her getting the same, what are you calling, rite of passage, as her sister.
Yeah.
But I also thought, is she doing it with her friends? Is she killing the girls with her friends? I don't know. What did you see?
I saw that she was just the killer. She was the one who did everything in order to, well, get the teeth. But, I mean, that's a minor point.
Yeah.
But the other thing was that Mama was always taking these two kids in, like who got killed. Under her wing and caring for them. And she obviously has this Munchausen by proxy, like kind of making them sick, but taking attention away from Amma. Therefore, she needs to kill them and lures them into the woods and kill them. And that's why Mama is still so sad about the whole thing, because she didn't kill them. Amma did. And that's what you realize in this, those flashes there.
Do you think they are setting us up for season two? Because I just Googled that before the show, and it doesn't seem to be on the way.
I really hope they don't.
I hope they don't as well.
I don't think they do.
Yeah.
I don't think they do a season two. I saw in this app where I'm tracking TV shows I'm watching that it says continuing, but I think nothing is in the cards yet. And if they continue it, it will be a completely different thing.
I mean, yeah,
it will probably not have
something else.
What's her name? The writer of the actual story,
Gillian Flynn. She says she's ready. She says the characters live on in my mind.
Yeah.
You know, so I can do it. I'm ready to do it. But she doesn't think Amy Adams is ready to take up her role again, because it takes so much out of her.
Yes.
I'm sure a few million dollars will be fine then.
But I think they wrapped it up pretty neatly with those quick flashes. And I think it was cool to see how you always knew Mama was the an evil person. There was something wrong with her, but it was not the whole truth, you know.
Yeah, and may I just say that Patricia Clarkson does she paint a picture?
Mm-hmm.
Does she paint a picture? She was fantastic.
Yeah,
she's always been this nice woman.
Yeah,
harmless woman.
Yes,
I kind of placed those characters, but she was fantastic as the evil witch.
And once you see her in that prison, you almost feel sorry for her, you know, because she looks so frail and so little, and so like there was nothing wrong or like bad, like, you know. I mean, she's just her.
At that point, you know what she went through. Well, parts of it at least.
And then, like, as was pointed out by Elin here when we were watching it, you also saw how much love she had for Amma, even though she also made her sick, because she obviously knew what she had done, you know, took the blame for it.
Yeah.
And they still had the connection. And that's like, that's the very, like, weird thing that's just going underneath the surface with this series. Like, you have that family relation and you have the history, and it just ties you together, you know?
Yeah, it just also, it turns out that Amy Adams' character is Camille, is turns out to be the actual person that is not crazy, you know, with all those scars and what self harm she has caused.
Yeah,
herself, she turns out to be the together person in the family.
Mm. Yeah, but she's still doubting herself due to her family situation.
Mm.
She's doubting that she's actually taking care of other people out of need or out of like some weird feeling that she has, you know. And I think that was also a very good bookend to her story, like how she's like, she doesn't know. True. And she's trying to figure it out, and she might have it as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it might be in the genes.
Yeah, but about the ending, I sometimes don't like these twists. This is a huge twist there in the end. But
yeah,
I did like that because it all made sense finally.
Yeah, I could not see
Adora pulling teeth from little girls. I can't see Amma doing it. Yeah. And I could see the husband do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, helping. I was a lot on the helping of the husband for a while.
Yeah.
You know.
But I couldn't see her because she has she's fierce.
Yeah.
The girl.
She so is. And she's unpredictable.
Mm-hmm.
And they show that all throughout the show, from the beginning, first time you see her out on the bench.
Yeah. All in all, this series was excellent. Excellent entertainment for me.
You know, one last thing, like, which is not really a spoiler either, but what I really like about the storytelling of this series is that it starts off as being this investigative piece.
It's a detective thing.
You're the reporter, you're following the reporter, but she's as much interested in solving the case as the police people. And slowly you realize it becomes more and more about Camille herself, like the reporter herself. And once it switches completely, the detective story is completely irrelevant, and they don't spend any time on it either. Like the last 2-3 episodes, it's nothing to do with the detective story or like those two girls. It's about her and her development. And I think it's like, because I was thinking it kind of jumps quickly to a conclusion. When the police are coming to her house, finally. But it didn't bother me because we were spending the time with Camille and we didn't need to see what was happening outside, why they came, how they came, and all that kind of stuff.
It kind of didn't matter.
It didn't matter, and you were with Camille. And that was the point of the story, that you should feel what she was feeling. And they've been doing that from the beginning. You just didn't know it. that you really wanted to get into her
excellent
place.
It kind of
it switches focus.
Yeah, pulls it a little bit away from the traditional noir, where we have the tortured main character, of course, always a detective or a newspaper person or whatnot.
Yeah,
and but that's always a side thing
mm-hmm.
in those. But here yeah. it's the main thing. And the whole detecting is a side thing.
It's a side thing. It mm-hmm. becomes more and more a side thing. It probably was a bit of a side thing in the beginning also, but you assumed that this would be this kind of
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
So you see it differently. Again, a reason why I really want to watch it again, actually, but I don't think I have the time, though.
Well, if not if you're going to watch a lot of Bergman.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
Especially not that.
Okay.
No. But it, this is a great recommendation from our end, right?
Yeah. We highly recommend this.
Highly recommend.
Yeah.
I only gave it 2 stars, though. Because it's not pleasant to watch, and it's a hard...
2 stars?
No, no, 4 stars.
Yeah.
It's getting... Oh, I'm getting late. I'm not getting late
yeah.
now. It's getting late.
Yeah. Jesus. It is Monday.
It is Monday. It's one beer.
I mean, you're stepping on toys. You're getting late. People are screaming and entering and... What is going on?
What is going on?
Jeez.
I don't know.
Oh
but
my God.
This is the end of the show, though.
Yeah, I think so. And next time we will yeah. definitely do Ozark.
I hope so.
Yeah, yeah.
I think so. I think
and we'll
so.
Find a good main feature. I mean, we didn't plan on doing Sharp Objects as a main event, but we didn't find anything in the theaters that we could have... thought about doing.
No, I mean
my
here...
wife is seeing The Meg tomorrow with her
course,
friends.
Great.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's kind
yeah.
of a bad movie night thing.
Yeah. I mean, if it's anything like Sharknado, you know.
I'm told it's not that bad, but it's more like, I don't know, like Placid or something like that.
Yeah, it's not something you really want to spend time with.
Yeah. Unless you go in thinking, yeah, it's going to be fun yeah. seeing a bad movie.
Yeah. Here yeah. it's Incredibles 2 all the way.
Yeah.
Or Die Utrolig 2.
Die Utrolig 2?
Yeah. In
okay.
the Danish translation, they actually get the in. So here
Do
it
they?
Is, The Incredibles 2.
Ah.
Yeah.
That's unprofessional.
Yeah, it is. It is. But it's because it doesn't make sense.
Actually, in Icelandic, it's as well. Hin Otrlu, The.
Yeah.
It's the, yeah.
See. There you go.
Yeah, okay, but, thanks thanks for tonight. I mean,
yeah.
we'll see what we do next time. You can, of course, find us everywhere. Just
yeah.
Look for Nordic Film Podcast, really.
Yes, and or go to our website.
Yes, recently updated website. It was always good, but now it's really, really cool.
Yes, it's gotten a new, fresh coat of paint.
Yeah.
And the subscription buttons has been moved up a little bit, so you can easily just subscribe to us
very
everywhere.
Shiny.
Google Podcast,
yeah.
iTunes, leave us a review there. 5 stars goes a long
Please,
way.
Please, yeah.
And yeah. Follow us everywhere. SoundCloud. Well, go to theconversationpodcast.net.
That's the place
is
to
there.
Go. Yeah.
That is the place to go now.
So that's it.
Yes, thank you for tonight, Tryggvi.
Yeah, you too, Rune.
Yeah,
and we'll catch you guys next time.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye.
There was a strange connection, very strong connection between them. Whereas
yes,
you could see the girl rebelling and just doing whatever she liked, even though, you know, her mom saw her. But still, at the same time, she showed respect as well. So it was
yes.
complicated like that.
Yeah, and you, I thought that she was just overplaying that part in
mm-hmm.
the beginning of the series, but towards the end you realized how like attached to the mother she was, like how much they were together. in this situation.
It's a very well-constructed relationship, I thought.
Mm-hmm. And even more so when you think about it. You know, I'm so glad we got to talk about this series in detail, because it's something that really grows on you.